Thanks, Max McLean, for that dramatic Bible reading. Wasn't it great that Max could join us? Took us a while to set up the stage and to fly Max out to join us here in Wente, but isn't YouTube great? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us a clear word in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word who became flesh. The word from you. And we pray, Father, for a miracle right now. We pray that by your Spirit, you might open up our ears so that our ears can be attentive to what you have to say to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hearing is so important for us in this COVID-19 day and age. We've been hearing so much. We've been hearing from the Prime Minister. We've been hearing from our Premier. We've been hearing from the World Health Organization. We've been hearing updates from the ABC and BBC and CNN. And we've been hearing, yes, fake news as well. Fake news. There's fake news going around. Fake news like the coronavirus is all because of the 5G network. Fake news like Russia had to unleash 500 lions in the streets to prevent people from going outside their doors. Fake news like you can be cured from the coronavirus by guzzling chemical products that you put into your fish tank. Fake news abounds. Be careful. But it makes you think about how you listen and how it is that you listen. And we're going to be thinking about listening right now because the most important person that you'll ever listen to is God. And in this passage in Mark chapter 4 that we're going to look at right now, the word hear is mentioned 13 times. That word from Greek, it's translated different ways, but it's the same word in Greek, hear. 13 times in this passage it's mentioned because Mark wants us to think about how we listen. Hearing is so important. And so I want to ask us right now, how's your hearing going? Now, I don't mean do you need a hearing aid, but I want to ask you, what happens when you hear God speak? Do you recognize that it's God who's speaking to you? And we're going to be thinking about this in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at it under three headings. We're going to think about what happened when Jesus spoke. We're going to think about, first of all, what the crowds heard. Then we're going to think about, second of all, what the disciples heard. And then thirdly, we're going to have a hearing test. All right? So first, what is it that the crowds heard when Jesus spoke? See, in this chapter, Jesus has the perfect opportunity to tell the crowds about the kingdom of heaven, to tell them why he's come and how to get to him and the way to heaven. And the place is packed, we're told. So many people, verse 1, is around him that he has to get into a boat. Now, we don't know whether it's because there's so much of a crowd that he just needs some space, or maybe, you know, the water provides the perfect acoustic opportunity. We don't know, but here he has the opportunity to preach a great sermon, and what does he do? Jesus tells farming stories. He tells a story about a farmer who, you know, gets his seed pouch and he just scatters his seed side to side and off it goes. And he tells us about the four different places where the seed lands. Some of the seed lands on the path and that gets eaten by birds. Some of the seed falls on soil that has lots of rocks in it. And obviously, that soil is shallow and so the seeds sprout but the roots don't dig in and the sun scorches those seeds and they die. And there's seeds that fall into the thorny soil, we're told, and the nutrients and the sunlight are choked out by the thorns. And finally, Jesus says there's seed that gets thrown on the good soil. See, the star of the story is the seed. And can you imagine being in that crowd? You've come to hear the greatest preacher on the planet that there is. And what do you get? You know, you're just busting to hear what Jesus has to say and he opens his mouth and what does he do? He tells gardening stories. I mean, this isn't life-changing stuff. The whole thing just sounds really weird. And you might be forgiven for scratching your head and going, really? Well, actually, there's one challenge in what Jesus says. There's one challenging thing. It's in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Really? He who has ears? Everyone feel to see if you've got ears for a moment. Are your ears there? Well, if you have ears, listen up. That's what Jesus is saying. And you, again, you think, thanks, Captain Obvious. I've got ears. I'm listening. But, I mean, in other words, you don't have a clue what Jesus is saying. And you might think that's a bizarre way to end the sermon. But, you know, Jesus is saying, you need to think about what I'm saying. And you need to consider it. That's what he's saying. And can you imagine if I were to stand before you and speak and tell you about gardening stories and sit down and the sermon is over? I mean, and we sing the last song and we all go home. Well, actually, we are home. But can you imagine what that would be like? That's what's happening here. Jesus is preaching the kind of sermon that you might hear at your local gardening club or down at the nursery or as you tune into your favourite gardening show. Doesn't Jesus do things sometimes that confound us? Sometimes he does things that astonish us. Sometimes we want him to do things our way. And we think, Jesus, you've got the perfect opportunity here to make things clear. But what do? You tell gardening stories. Folks, this is the Jesus that doesn't fit into our mold. Why does he do it? Why does he do things this way? Well, that's the question that the disciples have. So secondly, let's have a look at what the disciples hear when Jesus opens his mouth and speaks. Because the disciples have a question, actually. Look at verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him, it's not just the 12, there's others there too, they asked him about the parables. Now, when I went to Sunday school, I was taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's partly true because the word parable really means a riddle, right? It's something that you don't quite understand, that you have to solve. And the disciples come up to Jesus and they say to him, Jesus, why are you speaking in riddles? Jesus, I'm not sure this is good marketing. Why are you telling these farming stories? Why don't you just call a spade a spade? Why don't you just tell it like it is? Jesus answers, very interesting. Look at verse 11. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Wow, what an answer. He quotes Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 6. See, Isaiah was a man who was called by God to speak, to open his mouth and to speak God's words, but Israel wouldn't listen. Israel had their ears blocked to God. It's not that they can't hear, it's that they won't hear. They've closed their ears to the message because they don't want to hear. That's what's going on in Isaiah's day. And Jesus' answer to his disciples is, I'm telling you the secret. You people who are my disciples, I tell you that which you can't work out for yourself. I'm telling you the secret. I speak in parables to the crowd because it stops some people from listening. I speak in parables because I want some to know the truth and I don't want others to know the truth. But for you disciples, you learners, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, they're given to you. You get to hear the straight talk. I tell it like it is to you. But to everyone else, I speak in parables because I might as well, because my own people have rejected me. They don't want to hear me. So I might as well just speak in riddles. See, that's why Jesus speaks in riddles, because his own people have rejected him. And Israel is like that little kid. You know that, you've seen those little kids when they block their ears and they say to their parents, not listening, not listening, not listening. That's what Jesus is saying that Israel is like. Israel won't listen. God has spoken to his people clear words, but his judgment upon his own people is to speak in riddles. Well, he might as well, because they won't speak anyway. They won't listen anyway, rather. And that's why Jesus speaks in parables, because his own people have rejected him. Back in chapter 3, do you remember that the teachers of the law, the people who represent Israel, they were saying that Jesus is possessed by the devil? Talk about a rejection. That's why Jesus speaks in parables. But the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, they're given to the disciples. They're given to the insiders. They're given to you and me. Now, it's fair to say there's something about this that irks us. It irks us that God gives his revelation, his clear talk, to some and not to others. He chooses who the secret gets told to. And it's a reminder that even the hearing of God's truth depends entirely upon the grace of God. It takes God to open up our ears so that we can hear him speak. It's entirely his grace. It totally depends upon him. We're saved by grace, and even the hearing is by grace. But you have to remember that, you know, when someone speaks a riddle to you, riddles have an effect on you. A riddle has a way of either making you ignorant or making you thirsty for more. All right? Riddles actually have a way of revealing what's going on inside your heart. You see, I've got a riddle for you. Okay, are you ready? There was a man, and he was walking through the forest, and he came across on the ground a hat, a scarf, two buttons, and a carrot, all right in the middle of nowhere. And the question is, how did they get there and why? Do you know the answer? Now, of course, some of you know the answer, all right, but some of you won't know the answer. And see, immediately my riddle has divided us. Some of you, you know, don't care and you think, oh, I'll just forget that and move on. But others of you will email me or ring me and say, David, I want to know the answer to how the carrot and the scarf and the buttons got there in the middle of the forest. But see, that's what parables do. What the parables do is they split the crowd down the middle. Some of them will hear the gardening stories that Jesus has told, and they will come to him and they'll sit at his feet and they will want to know more, just like the disciples. Others will simply walk away. See, a parable reveals whether or not you want to listen to Jesus. That's why he speaks in parables. It's to divide the crowd. Now, how are you listening right now? I mean, where you are up to in life, how are you listening to Jesus? See, it's possible to hear, but not to listen. It's possible to hear the words that come out of someone's mouth, to have them work into your eardrums, but they may not make it down into your heart. And your heart might mean that you're hard of hearing. And so can I ask you particularly to ask God now for a soft heart so that you can hear him speak. Don't have a stubborn heart. Humble yourself before the Almighty God and to submit to his word. See, what Jesus does is he goes on to tell us why some people listen and others don't. And what we're going to do now is we're going to get our hearing checked. You see, what does this story mean about the seed and the different kinds of places that it falls? Actually, we have a foolproof fail-safe method of interpretation of this story. It's Jesus himself. He goes on to tell us exactly what it is that this parable means. He's the master interpreter, and he lets us in on the secret, and he tells us, first of all, what is the seed? Have a look at verse 14. He says, the farmer sows the word. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. Okay, think about it. A small little tiny seed. Do you know how much power is in a seed? Have you ever seen a seed that has grown up through a footpath into a great ginormous tree? That's how powerful a seed is. Because do you realize that the most powerful noise in the whole world is not an explosion? It's not a lightning bolt. It's not a gunshot. You know the most powerful noise in the world? It's the word of the gospel. It's the message that Jesus is Lord and the kingdom of God is here. So repent and believe the good news. And do you realize that a seed can grow and grow and grow into something big? It can grow quietly and it can change the world. And that's what the other parables are about that Jesus tells us later on in this chapter that we'll look at another time. But do you see that God's way of bringing about his kingdom is not by, you know, drama or rock concerts or people being nice to each other? The way that God brings his kingdom is by people hearing the message of the gospel. It's by somebody speaking the word of the gospel. Now, that makes us think, how are we listening to that message? Let's think about the soils, because Jesus tells us about the different types of ground, which are different ways of hearing the message of the gospel. And I think you can move from one bit of ground to the other, but they're all different responses to the word of God. So, what would you say if I said to you right now that I have the secret to the universe? I'm about to tell you the secret to the universe. Here it is. Are you ready? Here it is. Do you know that the God of heaven has come into our world in the form of his King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came to fix up everything that's wrong in this world, including your relationship with God, which was broken because you'd ignored him and you were rebellious against him. And the way that he fixed that up is by dying on a Roman cross so that you can have your relationship with God restored. And one day you'll get to meet him in glory. What would you say if I told you that that was the secret of the universe? That was what the world is all about. Now, some of you would hear that and you'd think, what? You've got to be crazy. You're an idiot. Right? Others of you would change the subject and, you know, make a joke and talk politely about something else. But, you know, some of you would hear this and you would think, oh, that is awesome. I love this. And I'm so excited by this. But then you'd walk away and you'd forget it. But I know that there'd be those of you who love this message so much that you would want others to know about it. Now, that's the soils. Those different responses are the soils that Jesus is talking about. See, the soils, that there are different ways of hearing. And what Jesus does is he gives us a hearing test to help us to think about how it is that we hear him. Because let's face it, there are people who think that they're Christians when they're really not. There's people who think that they're in the kingdom when they're really out. And you don't want to be that person. And so, do you want to take the test? Do you want to hear what Jesus has to say and have your spiritual hearing checked? See, Jesus tells us there's people that are hard of hearing. There's people that have shallow hearing. There's people that have distracted hearing. And there's people that have fruitful hearing. Okay? That's the soils. Let's think about the hard of hearing. That's verse 15. All right? Some people are like the seed that is sown along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in them. See, there's people who hear the word, but it just misses the mark. You know, they hear, but it never actually penetrates them, never goes deep down into them. For some people, the message, you know, is interesting and you think, oh, that's a nice worldview. That's an intellectual philosophy. I like that. But it's never personal because behind it is the evil one who takes the message away. And the Bible tells us that Satan has actually blinded the minds of unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 4. And here's the question. When you hear the word, does it impact you? Does it change you? Does it have an effect upon your life? If it doesn't, then it could be that you're hard of hearing. It is that you're hard of hearing. But see, there's not just those that are hard of hearing. There are those who have selective hearing. Look at verse 16. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life... Sorry, verse 16. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. See, this person hears the word and you think, oh, they're converted. They become a Christian. They receive it with joy. There's some emotion behind it. But the word takes no root. Why? Because verse 17, when persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. See, as soon as the hard times come, they turn away from God. And for that person, Jesus is someone who gives you good things, but when it becomes hard to follow him, well, he's just not worth it. You know, this kind of hearer wants Jesus to save them, but they haven't taken in the fact that to follow Jesus means suffering for him. See, if that's you, then you have selective hearing. Are you willing to follow Jesus during the hard times, like right now? That's the test. But see, there's not just those that have hard hearing and selective hearing. There are those who have distracted hearing. Look at verse 18. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. I think this is probably the most scary type of soil. You know, have you ever been talking to someone and you just have found that, you know, you're trying to have a conversation with them, but they just keep getting distracted. They don't look at you. They're always looking elsewhere. They're looking at their phone, and you kind of wonder if they're taking in. They're there, but their hearing is distracted. Husbands, sometimes this can be us with our wives, but that's a different sermon, and we'll leave that for another occasion. But see, here it has to do with hearing the word, and distractions get your attention. You know, the word is thrown on thorny ground and it's choked by three things: by the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things. And see, this, what I think at this time in this COVID-19 age, I think God is wanting to get our attention, don't you? Hasn't God been showing us how stupid it is to get caught up in this world and to live like this world and the concerns of this world is all there is? You know, hasn't God taught us enough not to put our security in wealth and the stock market and my retirement fund? And, you know, we used to get distracted by the soccer club or the dance club or the gardening club, but I can't even see my wider family right now. You know, in an instant, God can take it all away. Isn't that just what is taking place at the moment? Wealth is such a liar. You know, wealth cannot give us hope. God can take it away in an instant. Wealth, money is such a liar. It promises security and happiness, but it doesn't deliver. You know, the superannuation plan, the holiday fund, the portfolio. It's all insecure. That's what God is teaching us. You know, he's teaching us not to have selective hearing when it comes to him. And we're being taught not to share any control, not to share any of our heart to have control. Sorry, what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is Jesus doesn't want to share control with anybody. Jesus wants to have all the control over your life. And so if that's you, if you're finding that you are caught up in the things of this world and you're not living for him and him alone, make sure your focus is him. You know, I've got a friend and his first prayer of the day is, Lord, reorder my loves. That's what I want. Don't have selective hearing. Make God the love of your life and listen to him only. So, let's be like the last soil. Verse 20, fruitful hearing. Verse 20, others like seed sown on the good soil hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. You see, the good soil understands the message of the kingdom. The other listeners had their eardrums vibrated by the message, but only this hearer understands. And it yields fruit, doesn't it? You know, 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times. Fantastic. And you see, what we're being told here is that this word actually is fruitful in your life. It changes you. And you can't help but share it with others as it bears fruit in your life. It penetrates deep. So be a focused hearer. Don't have selective hearing. Listen to what God is saying. Listen to the message of the gospel and let it change you. How's your listening going? You see, this parable of Jesus has either hardened you or it's enlightened you. But hopefully you've been told the secret. I've done my best to communicate it to you. The secret of the kingdom. What's distracting you? When you hear the gospel word, what do you do with it? You know what I love about our church? I love what people do with the word of God. I love how people are so keen to hear the word of the gospel. They're so keen to, you know, tune in online and to listen to the word of God taught through the preaching of the word. And I love how people are speaking the word of God to each other. People are meeting up and praying for each other in prayer triplets and reminding each other of the word of God. But I just want to finish by giving you an example of what people in our church are doing with the word of God each Sunday. Do you realize right now some people are taking notes as they hear the word of God taught? Do you realize that afterwards some people will take this video, Murray in particular, hi Murray, and he will burn this video onto a CD, and then Ken will come and he will pick up the CD and he will deliver it to people who can't tune in online right now so that others can hear the word of God. Isn't that wonderful? See, we're in a church where people think that this is the best news that you'll ever hear and they want others to hear it as well. And people open their mouth and they speak this word to others and they invite others to come and listen in. And isn't that fantastic? So be careful how you listen. Let me pray for us. Loving Father, we thank you for your word, that you speak the truth to us. And we pray that we would take a look at how we listen. We would think about whether we are people who have soft hearts, whether the noise goes in through our ears and down to our heart so that it changes us, so that we are that person who produces the crop, the fruit, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times, Lord. Make us like that, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.